Session 252, April 20, 1966. Now, good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth, I have given you a rest, and this will be, as Rupert correctly supposed, a short session. Give us a moment here to make some explanations clear. Rupert is making certain rather important inner adjustments that are resulting or will very shortly result in a definite expansion of consciousness and ability. To some extent, these changes are structural in that pathways of activity are being formed more completely. This involves an assimilation on the part of Rupert's whole personality that is quite important for his overall development. It is difficult to explain some of this in words, but connections are being formed, actually in terms of psychic structures, so that a much larger amount of inner data will become available to Rupert on a conscious level. The pathways are now becoming clear enough so that a change will be effectively apparent. Some of this is the result of the practice gained in psychic manipulation through our sessions themselves. Generally speaking, the same sort of developments are taking place in you also, Joseph. But because of the peculiar and significant balances that exist between Rupert and myself, these developments are perhaps of a somewhat different nature as far as he is concerned. We are indeed reaching a sort of breakthrough which will be most auspicious. The increase of ability on his part will be a qualitative one and a general one, that is, not one limited to psychic affairs. It is bound to improve his psychic performance, however. It is in the nature of an integration, an integrating reorganization in which insights and knowledge usually hidden in the main from conscious awareness can now be effectively used and recognized. This integration, naturally enough, will rather vastly increase the physical performance. However, in this period of its initial phases, there is bound to be some physical effect as the system stabilizes itself. Biochemistry is indeed involved, and certain new chemical balances are now being achieved. The result physically has been a slight indisposition which will shortly vanish and be replaced, in fact, by a much more efficient health standard as a matter of course. It is very possible that the sinus condition itself will be very much improved. I had several points to mention. The results of this new integration are only now beginning to show in Rupert's work. They will become more apparent, and the whole Seth book will benefit now also. Rupert's experience with his new friend Marion was in a strange way also a result of his increased abilities. He picked up her physical symptoms, you see, sympathetically, and he must learn to guard himself now against such occurrences. This can be done by clearing his mind and suggesting that all alien impulses or conditions be removed. As sensitivity increases, it will become necessary for him to distinguish among them, that is, to distinguish so that he realizes the differences between his own sensations and any he may have inadvertently picked up. He will have no difficulty doing this. His abilities have increased in line with his discipline, so that he will be able to make such distinctions. The first instance simply caught him unawares. The rest of the material dealt with Dr. Instream experiment, which I'm skipping. Session 253, April 25, 1966. Now, good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, the author whose book on precognition you are reading comes quite close in important respects. You will note that he has had his own psychic experiences and has been able to draw knowledge from them and from his own intuitions. He has followed through by using the intellect. But the intuitional data, as always, provides the direct experience upon which the intellect can then work. Rob notes, The Future Is Now by Arthur W. Osborne, University Books, New Hyde Park, New York. Seth, all systems of reality are created or constructed by those who perceive the system. Those who do not construct a system cannot perceive it. Now, there is nothing at all unusual in precognitive experiences. They occur constantly beneath the level of your awareness. However, there are certain conditions necessary before precognitions can arise to conscious levels, and there are definite conditions that must exist before what you call apparitions can be perceived. So-called apparitions, again, are not unusual. They are more or less constant. Many of these apparitions exist in their own system whether or not you perceive them. Some apparitions are constructed by the perceiver and are basically caused by a telepathic communication, but all apparitions are not of this nature. All apparitions, however, to appear as or within the physical system, must be constructed by the perceiver in the same manner that all physical objects are constructed. This does not mean that apparitions are only the result of such construction on the part of the perceiver. The perceiver constructs the pseudo-material apparition as he constructs the physical image of his contemporaries, but in or rather in line with telepathic data that is received by or from the consciousness whose material image is being constructed. You recall we spoke of primary and secondary physical constructions. These classifications apply regardless of the basic nature of the consciousness that is to be materially formed. An apparition constructed as a result of telepathic data, picked up by the perceiver in message form, will be constructed by him in precisely the same manner that an apparition will be constructed that is a reflection of a survival personality. The difference is not in construction, for the methods of construction are the same. For example, Mr. A in his bedroom telepathically picks up the thought of his brother many miles distant. Now, if he merely picks up his brother's thought, and the thought is, quote, I'm dying, I wish I could say goodbye to my brother, then the receiver of the message could form the apparition of the dying brother and then perceive it in his bedroom. This would be a secondary construction. If, however, the dying brother made an out-of-body journey before or after death for a last visit, then the receiver would still have to construct the apparition himself in order to perceive it. But in this case, we would have a primary construction. Nothing is seen directly. You are always forming such constructions, and the methods by which this is accomplished are the same regardless of the nature of the consciousness which is to be perceived in physical terms. In all cases, if the ego consciousness is to be reached, some sense imagery is necessary. Sense images are built up, you see, in the same manner whether or not you are trying to perceive an apple, a star, or a human being. They are built up in the same manner whether or not you want to perceive a thought that must be made physical or an image of a consciousness that must be made physical. You have noticed in your own work that oftentimes information will be perceived by Rupert in terms of visual images. I do not give Rupert the information in this manner. The images are formed from my ideas. Usually they are formed by his ideas. I try to direct his image making, but in both instances, the same process of image making is involved. You can understand, in fact, the way in which sense images are organized much more clearly by studying instances where sense images exist without an actual object representing them in the physical universe. This shows that sense impressions are independent, you see, of objects. Now, I have told you time and time again, my friends, that you construct your physical universe and your private environment in line with your own inner expectations, for they mirror perfectly the deepest areas of your own inner reality. This is perhaps the closest I can come in handing you anything that approaches a basic truth. All of our material follows from this, and any other information contained in the material follows and flows out of this primary statement. I do not speak symbolically, but quite literally. When you find yourself, therefore, noticing more and more the inequalities, the disasters, and the shames that come within your sphere of perception, you add to their existence. This may confound what common sense may tell you. However, concentration reinforces the quality which is concentrated upon. I will not go more deeply into this, for we have mentioned it often, and I address myself now to you both. When you are concentrating upon destructive elements, you lose on 2 points. You reinforce the destructive qualities by the very act of concentrating upon them, and you rob yourselves of the constructive qualities that you could be concentrating upon, and therefore that you could be reinforcing. For an example, we will take your friend and her tumor. The tumor was formed by inner concentration. She feared a tumor so strongly that subconsciously she focused her energies in those directions. It existed in her mind long before it was physically constructed. Had she concentrated upon constructive elements, upon positive and not negative qualities, not only would the tumor itself be non-existent, but she would have constructed a positive element in its stead. A spiritual growth, for example. All of these matters you see, and many more, from the considerations of health and the formation of destructive ulcers and tumors, to the construction of any simple physical object, to the construction of an apparition, all of these are in one way or another connected with inner focus and concentration. You will, in all cases, attempt to construct, as physical reality, your inner conception of what reality is. Your physical environment and conditions are a mirror of your own basic conceptions of reality. If the environment changes, it is because your inner conceptions have changed. And no smallest alteration is made within physical reality that has not first been made within the inner self. I want to mention here a subject that is at least allied. We have not touched upon it often, if at all, and it has to do with something Rupert wondered about, mass or shared dreams. Now, your physical universe is obviously composed of shared perceptions, and mass dreams would, of course, be of the same nature. Mass dreams are indeed a reality. They exist mainly at one particular level, and they do have to do with what you may call, for now, world pictures. These help form the reality of human conditions upon your planet at any given time. Those conditions are at least partially the result of such mass dreams. There was a brief portion dealing with the Dr. Instream material, which I skipped. Continuing then, Seth, now do you have an envelope test for me? No, said Rob. Seth, we will then discuss briefly, very briefly, mass or shared dreams. There are actually several varieties. For now, we will be concerned with mass dreams that have an almost universal nature. That is, dreams that are shared at one time or another by the majority of living persons on your planet. There are dreams shared by various groups, for example, also. This particular kind of dream is concerned with working out certain problems concerning your physical reality, and they are usually not precognitive. They might appear precognitive if you perceived them, because many of the events contained within will later occur in fact. They are not precognitive, however, for in large measure they bring about or cause physical events. They occur, comparatively speaking, just above that layer which Jung refers to as the collective unconscious. If you could perceive these dreams, then, you would have a good idea of the main physical events of the future, because you would see them being born. Rob notes, Jane now took a pause lasting well over a minute. She sat quietly with her eyes closed. After she resumed, her eyes began to open occasionally. Seth continues, these are, as a rule, connected with significant events that affect many countries. They represent, in the main, deep intents, wishes, and purposes. Rob notes another long pause. Seth, at times they have immense power to bring about shaking world changes of either beneficial or destructive nature. One individual, however, is more important than you have ever dreamed. For the intensity and emotion and intent is important here. One man, passionately willing, good or evil, can overbalance literally 100 men. In the dream state, too, you see, leaders can be born and make themselves known. The people already know them in these mass dreams, before they are ever known in physical reality. Now, you may end the session or take a brief break if you prefer. I guess we'll end it then, Rob interjects. Seth, my heartiest best wishes to you both. We will continue with this material at our next session, and perhaps I will answer Rupert's question. He asked why he did not dream of me. Rob notes. Jane smiled, eyes open. Seth continues. I do not dream of him either. Rob notes. Good night, Seth. End 10:32.